11, the state's largest town is no longer a town. It's now a city.
Nearly 70,000 people live in Framingham, and after more than 300 years as a town, voters have decided to rewrite history.
Well, this is pretty friendly, Stephen.
We're here today with Judy Grove and Steve Croce, candidates for City Council in District 8.
Is that okay?
We're going to talk a little bit about their backgrounds and why they're running for the council. Thank you both for joining us.
So how do you see
thank you.
So first we'll start with Steve. Just tell us a little bit about your background, how long you've been in Framingham, what you do for work. And
sure. My name is Steve Croce. I'm a lifelong resident in District 8, Precinct 15, 65 years. Retired right at the present time from Genzyme across the street. Spent probably the last 35 years in quality management of one form or another, auditing, corporate quality auditing, corporate compliance, assurance, all aspects of quality. So I have a pretty good idea of how systems should work and how systems should be managed and how operationally they should function. I don't know what else you need to, what else you'd like to know, John, but, before that, and my prior experience has been as a manager. I've worked for a number of large organizations, General Motors, Boston Scientific, Genzyme, yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Thank you. And Judy?
Hi, I'm Judy Grove, and I grew up in Melrose, Mass., but married my high school sweetheart. We moved to Berkeley, California at the height of Vietnam, and it was quite an adventure. We actually lived where you may know about People's Park. So we were surrounded by army tanks, protests, and also the Cesar Chavez, the great boycott was going on at the time. So we got involved in politics then with marches and speeches and letter writing. And we also were concerned about the environment because Berkeley is always ahead of the curve on things. We had our own garden, the student housing. Tom was at UC Berkeley. So we had a garden. We had cooperatives. We shared daycare. We had kind of a communal type of living. I know we're going to be dealing with marijuana right now with the town, but that wasn't something we had anything to do with. So we moved all over the country. Tom was trying to get tenure at a university, so we were in Minnesota. In Minnesota, we became foster parents to kids who were abused. We had seven different children abused by their parents. And we got involved with the courts. I got involved. I wrote reports. I spoke up. I had a newsletter. Then we moved to Virginia, which was a very quiet, very, very different from anywhere we'd lived. And in Virginia, I supported the Foster Parent Association, but I went back to school and I took courses in computer science and in statistics, because I figured at some point I would be going back to work, but it was difficult while my husband was traveling around. And then we came back here. We've been here 37 years. We decided to live in Framingham because Tom was teaching at the college, and because of our interest in ecology, he wanted to walk. So he walked the 3 miles to Framingham State from our home. We've been on Cedar Street 37 years, which is the heart of Precinct 15. And then I got involved in town government, and that really kind of drew on everything I'd done before because I got involved in environmental pollution issues at the three major sites in Framingham, especially Mary Denison Park. And it went back to my interest in children. Also, when I taught in California, I was a teacher. I taught the year Martin Luther King was assassinated, and I had all minority students. And I remember the day he was assassinated, they closed the school for fear of riots. So this has been a kind of a theme through my life, and Framingham encompasses all the issues that I've dealt with before.
Great. And so just sticking with you, Judy, if you could talk a little bit about why you wanted to run for the council and expand maybe a little bit about some of the town involvement you've had in the past.
I used to complain. I went and complained because they closed down the Hess gas station, left the pumps and the signs right on Hollis Street, which is the end of the street that leads to mine. So I went to the Downtown Renaissance meeting and spoke up, and a town meeting member physically grabbed me by the arm and pulled me to the clerk's office and told me that I should sign up to be a town meeting member. And there was no time to even get on the ballot. I had 5 write-in votes, and suddenly I was town meeting. As soon as I got on it, I joined the Community Services Standing Committee. and they were trying to improve things at Mary Dennison Park in Precinct 17. That's Herb, who does Hoops and Homework. So we presented five articles at town meeting, and all of them were shot down. People actually shouted at us, if those people need help, why don't they get jobs? I was so shocked by it that I went to Mary Dennison, and I started a survey. I had 600 signatures on a petition. What would you like to see at Mary Dennison Park? And they said, where's Mary Dennison Park? None of them were using it. They didn't even know it was their park, 16 acres in their neighborhood, because it had three baseball fields. There was nothing for them to do there. So that was really the beginning of my getting involved. I wanted a skate park there, and the Parks Department kept saying it might be polluted. It turned out that they'd known it for 24 years. Then they went in. DEP closed it down. The skate park I brought to town meeting, and it's now being built on Farm Pond. So they're all interconnected, the pollution, the politics, and the South Side. We've been ignored, and that's why I supported the city. It was time for the South Side residents to have a say in what's going on.
Great. And so, Steve, same question, though. You know, what makes you want to run for their council, and if you had been involved in the town before?
Really, because I'm angry with the way that the town has been. I've been a lifelong resident in Precinct 15. I know exactly what the specific issues and problems are in the community. We have been neglected by town meeting and town government forever. The South Side has deteriorated for decades. We have crime, we have drugs, we have parking, we have congestion, we have all kinds of problems that have been ignored. We have neighborhood blight, we have absentee landlords. All of these issues are really dollars and cents issues. The District 8, 15 and 18, as well as 16 and 17, District 9, are the poorest section of town. Let's face it, it is. And people's concerns are not for, you know, special things. They want sidewalks. I've talked to people. They want sidewalks, roads. They want their utilities better. Everything that they have is really in not very good condition, to be honest with you. And all of this, all of the deterioration has come with higher property taxes for the residents of District 15, District 8. So I've never been in politics. I've gone down and dealt with issues at town hall that have affected me, and I finally said, well, I'm going to see if I can get involved because I want things to improve. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not encumbered by any past history of town meeting or their decisions and so forth. I'm completely independent, but I know what the issues are and the priorities. It's dollars and cents, and it's lower taxes, less government, reduced spending, improvement to our schools, improvement to our utilities and infrastructure, things that affect the people every day.
And as you're both walking around District 8 and talking to people, and Steve, you started to address this, you know, what do you hear from residents about what they want out of the new city government, and how would you?
Yeah, they want better communication. They want interaction better interaction with all the city departments. People have lots of issues that they deal with, and they have trouble maneuvering through city government, town government. They feel as though they're not well listened to. The communication is not very good. And to be honest, they're perfectly right. I found the same thing when I've had my issues. One of the things that you look at the city government, or actually the town government, there is absolutely no quality management system that they run in terms of how the management system of the city or the town and soon to be city will be. There's no documented protocols. There's no standard operating procedures. Every department is run differently. The communication is different. It's just a poorly run situation, to be honest with you. We need to put into a system, and one of the things I would propose to the mayor is to establish and implement a quality management system that's geared particularly for city type of government. And it's out there. Many, many cities have done this. We need better communication. We need interaction. We need people who, you know, departments that respond to needs. It's true, our district is extremely unique from other areas in Framingham, but nonetheless, we've been left behind, and we need to get our areas improved. If the District 8 and 9 get improved, then all districts will improve. So that's why I'm running.
Great. And Judy, same question. What do you hear from voters in District 8 that they want?
I actually hold my precinct meetings for all the precincts on the south side. I've never considered myself Precinct 15. 15 through 18 all meet at my home, and I invite speakers in so they're informed. I also have communicated a lot with people. We tried to have a group started. Actually, we started a group called Washakam Farms because we have the lake there. We've dealt with very specific issues, but because of it, I know all the departments. When we found out that Mary Denison was polluted, we then found out, I got a phone call from somebody who saw an article in the paper, and he said, you have one of the biggest Superfund site right in front of your eyes, 350 Irving Street, a 20-acre former gas plant from the 1880s. When they decommissioned it, they buried everything. There's asbestos, there's pipes buried there. But what he was telling me was there was a landscape company on it, and they were having frequent fires. The neighbors were telling me they could smell the smoke. It was acrid. It made them choke. They could smell foul odors from the mulch decaying. So I started a group called STOP, Stop Toxic Operators and Polluters. We actually had three demonstrations in front of Landscape Depot. And this is where the departments, as Stephen said, are not doing their job. We had a fire department that put out 15 fires, and nobody did anything to make sure they were following best practices. We had a health department that wasn't informing the residents. They actually struck a gas pipe, and there was a gas leak for a while, and people were really worried, but they weren't telling them. We wanted them to support us closing them down. Then we found out that this company wanted to buy the property. In 2001, there was a transfer, but they owed the town $2 million, so the town negotiated that you can have these businesses there if you pay us the $2 million. But this company didn't have $2 million. It turns out that Eversource owns the property. They have deep pockets. They paid the $2 million, and what my source told me was they were hiding it from us. They didn't want anyone to pay attention to them. The land is incredibly polluted. So now, with our protests and with speaking up at Board of Health, we found out through we're now connected with DEP that the cleanup of that property can cost anywhere from $93 million if they do it properly. So I encourage people in the neighborhood to get involved. There's about a dozen of us. We go to the fire department and say, why are they still having fires and what are you going to do about it? I talked to the police, the fire chief the other night, and he said there haven't been any fires this year. But this goes even deeper. We found out that there were 10 companies squatting on that property because that's how they treat the south side. We'll do whatever we want. Nobody's watching. 10 companies that weren't supposed to be there. And when we found out about them, they didn't have permits. They were all coming up for permits. They weren't paying taxes. I called the assessor's office, and he went down there, and he surveyed them. They were all put out of business, but then he surveyed properties that are there that weren't paying their property taxes, personal property, because they said they didn't know about it. Nobody told them they had to pay it. And when we talked to inspectional services, they would say it's okay. Another problem we're having with these departments, they're putting in our streets. They have a plan, and they're paved all over our neighborhoods now. But on East Street, which is in Precinct 16, there are people with illegal driveways. They just put tar on the curb and drive and park in their front yards. So town meeting members, we got in touch with the planning board who have really helped us. They do a great job. They went down to DPW and they said, why are you giving them these driveways? And they said, there's no laws. Well, here's the thing. There are bylaws. We have very specific bylaws. The planning board has been writing them. We have nuisance bylaws. We went to the ZBA, another problem, and said, why are you giving them a permit? Their permit lapsed for 5 years, and they didn't function. Where's the penalty? What are they going to pay for the fact that we're there? The answer is we have no enforcement. So what has to happen now is these departments have to answer for what's going on. They have to enforce. Penalties have to be exercised on them. A big issue now is the landlords and these illegal apartments. We are hoping Framingham is getting the regional court. It's coming from Marlboro. We wanted to get housing court. If you have housing court in your community, you have a problem with the landlord, or the landlord has a problem with the tenant, you go to the court and they settle it. But if your land court is in Woburn, you're not going to send your police officers to Woburn. It's going to cost us too much, so it doesn't get done. So now they're bringing the court in here, and we're hoping We're going to be dealing with a lot of the housing issues because we're going to have housing court. So I know every department, and they know me. And I have ones that I really admire. Conservation is one of them. Because conservation is now going to restore the Cedar Woods. Then that's in Precinct 15.
I'll just add a little.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, Judy's right about that we have bylaws, but the bylaws have been so watered down in the past 10 years by town meeting, because they're the ones that have to sign off on that when they're presented, that what town meeting has done, and I know she's been a town meeting member for many years, and what they've done is they've watered it down so they can't enforce it, and they don't enforce them because there's nothing to really enforce. They've made these bylaws so weak that you can't enforce housing, you can't enforce overcrowding, you can't, because it's all being interpreted by the inspection department. With all due respect to the inspection department, I know they'll claim that they don't have the resources that's needed, but, you know, they put this issue on themselves. And to be honest with you, these are the issues that really affect the priorities for the residents of 15 and 18. They know what, you know, or they've lived through this, and when they have problems, they don't get the responses that they need because the bylaws are so weak and not being enforced that, you know, they throw their hands up. And this allows absentee landlords, and I have them in my neighborhood, and I have them next door to me, who really don't care much about their property other than the rent being collected on the first of the month. When you speak to them, or representatives of the landlords, they tell you, oh, we don't have any funds, you know, we're barely making go by, it's a tough economy. Those aren't excuses, and what happens is town meeting has done that, and with the weak bylaws. So I mean, so I'm just, you know, and with respect to some of the other issues, you know, people that I've spoken to walking around, you know, they're concerned about, you know, these funds, these environmental situations that have been in different precincts. But their main concern is, hey, listen, I'm struggling on a day-to-day basis to survive here. And on the issues that come up, you know, the meat and potatoes, dollars and cents, you know, it's crime, it's traffic, it's parking. I have it in my area. It's just a terrible situation. And to be honest, you know, I've gone to meetings and actually presented things to committees. And my first question to the people who sit on the committee for the town was, when was the last time you walked through, you know, the south side or my neighborhood? Well, we never have. And so my question to them is, how are you able to make a decision that without knowing the impact on the community, on the neighborhood? And you know, it's silence. So it's really it's a really frustrating situation, which is why I guess I decided to run. I know Judy's been very involved in all kinds of things, and I appreciate the fact, and she has done a great, you know, she has done things, you know, got involved with serious issues. But I think you need to bring them back right to the immediate neighborhood and look at those issues first. The other issues that she's been involved with are sort of townwide issues that you know, the town should have been addressing, the new city should be addressing. They're in, you know, they're outside, just outside our district. But nonetheless, issues within our district, I think, are the number one concerns for me.
Sure. Judy, and just also since you brought it up, if you could clarify how long you've been in town meeting?
Since 2013, so this is my fifth year. As far as the bylaws are not weak. The town meeting is a problem because they do soft pedal things, but we have a committee there that has actually locked horns with the planning board on a lot of issues where they've been trying to make the bylaws even stronger, but they're nitpicking words. So it's not about issues as much as how it's written. But here's an example of what was done with the bylaws. The planning board knew about this landscape company and how their permit had lapsed, and they have actually nuisance bylaws. You cannot slaughter cattle in Framingham. You cannot recycle asphalt. You cannot have fires that burn certain chemicals. Okay, so they have them. So they added one. They said no more landscape companies. We have about 125 landscape in auto places in South Framingham, and auto places especially pollute. So they said no more landscape companies. I then went to town meeting, got 62 signatures saying to the ZBA, do not give them the permit. We had signatures from all 18 precincts. We sent it to them. We showed up, And that company, through their lawyers, said Landscape Depot was not a landscape company. They said they were a distributor just like Home Depot. And they gave them their permit. So the bylaw was fine. The execution by the people on the ZBA, the people in the different boards, was not fine. So you can go to them. But when you talk about nitty-gritty, these people now, there's another landscape company. They're loading cement blocks into trucks at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they want to change it to 6:30 in the morning. So I'm at every ZBA meeting with these people. These are issues for them that they have to deal with every day. Odors, all of it, noise. So we have noise bylaws, and yet we get nowhere with it. So with the new government, the first priority for me is we're now going to go after these bylaws. When they showed up for these curb cuts, they were arguing that it was okay. So the planning board got in touch with DPW and spoke to the top, to Peter Sellers, and said, this is in the bylaw. You cannot have a car park right next to a house because if it catches fire, the house will catch fire. Pretty common sense. And then DPW agreed. So they really helped us with that. And they're helping us by strengthening our bylaws. But it's the departments in the fact that they say they don't have money. But here's the deal. With the assessor's department, Mr. Nasser, he is bringing in a lot more money now. So he decided he would hire one person whose job would be to knock on doors and say, hello, we're the town of Framingham. What are you doing here? And they say, oh, we didn't know we had to have a permit. So they are bringing in money, and he needs to be supported. Departments like that have to be strengthened. And other departments who are saying there's no resources have to ask for them, and we'll get these things taken care of.
And so District 8 includes some portions of the downtown area, and you know, earlier this year, a town meeting had approved tax deals for a couple big developments down there on Concord Street and, mm-hmm. and Waverly, and I think it's about 460 units combined, close to the T-stop. I'm wondering, you know, your approach to those types of developments and those types of tax deals.
Frankly, I think the town meeting made a major mistake by doing that. 460 apartments and condos, and if you broaden that throughout the town of Framingham, they're trying to put some up in Staples, another condo development down on Mount Wade. They have okayed or attempting to okay so many apartments and condos that it's just, they don't know what the impact is. They don't know what's going to happen, how it's going to impact and affect particularly the south side, but all parts of Framingham. What happens in one area of Framingham affects and impacts other areas of Framingham. There is not a cohesive master plan for these apartments. And one of the proposals I would make to the whoever the mayor turns out to be, number one, there needs to be a 6 or 9 month moratorium on all apartment and condo proposals until at least the 1st of July or even longer. We need to have a master plan on this thing. If you lived in town, you know, 35 years ago, they put a moratorium on apartments in town when they built them all up on Route 9. They had no idea the impact on our resources, police, fire, schools, utilities, nothing. And these things are going to just drain us and cause big problems with more spending. We need to get control of this thing before we give anybody the go-ahead, especially downtown. And in particular with these apartments, I don't think this is the resolution to developing and revitalizing downtown. You wrote an article that was just published a couple of days ago about downtown. The issues that have come up from downtown are crime, vagrants, taxes, high rents, congestion, traffic. If you don't solve those issues, you're not going to be able to revitalize downtown. Those things need to be addressed first. Having all these apartments is not the solution to this thing. I think what the town should do is at least look to Ashland, who has attempted to develop their downtown with an economic. They've got a couple of buildings that they've turned into economic engines where small companies get involved and can start up. We need that type of thing that's going to draw something to downtown Framingham. There should be economic development zones downtown where people can come, and if it's an IT or technology, you know, low rent space that they can develop new ideas and products. Biotech needs labs. There was a biotech seminar a short while ago. There is nothing between Boston and Framingham, and Boston and Worcester in terms of lab space, research and development space that small startup biotech companies could use. Those are the things that would bring activity and revitalization to downtown.
Judy, same question on the developments that were approved.
That's a real sore point with me, those apartments. The night they came into town meeting and wanted to put the apartments on Howard Street, they were talking about a TIF. Now, the plan is TODs, transit-oriented development. That makes sense. That's not a bad thing for the downtown. We know we're going to be developed. We want to be developed, but we want to be developed properly. As a matter of fact, John Stefanini has said if he's elected, he will have a six-month moratorium on apartments. So he's already talked about that. So they came with the idea of the apartments on Waverly Street first. That's 270 at the Harley-Davidson. I wasn't thrilled about it, but you know, when somebody comes in with a project, there was no rule. As Stephen said, there's no moratorium. They have a project, they have builders, they can come in. So that seemed okay. Then now it was going to be the 200 above the tracks. That meant that we were going to have traffic problems both ways. What really upset me about the apartments above the tracks was that they were now going to take and plunk down those 200 apartments, and it was supposed to be mixed use. The idea on Staples was supposed to be corporate mixed use when they came in, and the town said no, and that was a mistake. I'll go back to that. But downtown, the idea is if you've been to Brookline or you've been to Natick, or not so much Natick, but Milton or Newton, you go on these streets and there are stores, there's restaurants, there's shoe repairs, there's hairdressers, and upstairs there are apartments. That was what we thought was going to come in. We have a confusion in this town. There's an economic development department. Their job is to bring in good projects. There is a planning board. Their job is to permit them and make sure they're following rules and try to cajole them into doing the right thing. So the Board of Selectmen skipped the planning board on this project, and they went to economic development, and they came down, and they said, this is wonderful, we're going to do it, and we're going to give them a $7 million tax break. Why? You don't give a tax break to apartments to come to your town. You give it to businesses, like Stephen said. We could have small shops, clean businesses in the downstairs. Well, look at our downtown. That's a major location. It's Howard Street and it's Concord Street. It's right above the tracks. It will be the major location. What are we getting? Apartments. So I stood at a microphone at town meeting. Here's the problem. The north side pushed it. They all got up and spoke in favor. And I can be cynical about it. They would love to see all the apartments in South Framingham, right, Stephen?
You're right about that.
Yeah, let's not put them at Knobscot. Let's put them downtown. So they all spoke for it. How many people did we have voting? We had potential of 48 votes. We had about 10 because our people didn't show up because they've given up. So they weren't voting, but they knew I would get up. I got up at a microphone. I stood at a microphone for 25 minutes. The moderator skipped me. She went around in the circle. I'm on rules. I know how it's supposed to be done. She even called on the public. She got on people who got up after me, and then they moved the question, and I never spoke. I wanted to say you do not give $7 million for more apartments. They're not going to bring in money. We've got to worry about the kids in the schools. If they had stores, fine, and nice stores. So then afterwards, people said, Judy, you got to face it. We have to have development. I said, you missed the boat on this. Why didn't it go to the planning board? And they said, the planning board will fix it now. That's how much they understood. That was the problem with town meeting. And so the planning board, they come to them. I watched the meeting. I was there. And they said, sir, you know, we're partnering with you. We're giving you a $7 million TIF. Why aren't you having more stores? And they said, because we'll make more money with apartments. We're not sure if we can rent the stores, but we can rent the apartments, and they couldn't do anything about it. Now, the interesting, this is like a soap opera. The apartments up at Mount Waite, someone from town meeting is suing them. He's suing them on the grounds that they don't have the right to put that density up there. And I talked to him last night, and he believes that the other projects are now stepping back and saying, are we going to get sued? Are we going to come there? So that puts us in a catch-22. Are we not welcoming development? If we're welcoming it, we have to do it the right way. And here's, I think, what Stephen's saying, too. We're too fragmented. The problem is there's nobody where the buck stops. It's that committee. No, it's planning board. No, it's economic development. No, it's town meeting. That's why I said it's time to end it. We have to have a city and hope for the best.
crime lovers are always looking for new and engaging content.
The Already Gone podcast covers stories from Michigan and the Great Lakes region. Cases you haven't heard before, like the Mayo Hunters or the murder of 16-year-old Justin Mello, plus better-known cases like the death of Jane Bishara and Illinois' own Lori Dann. Already Gone started in 2016, so there is a big back catalog for you to enjoy. Find Already Gone on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, or your favorite podcatcher.
And so switching gears a little bit to the schools, wondering if you could speak to what one or two issues you see facing the schools are and how, as a city councilor, you could kind of help the schools in that respect. Steve.
Yeah, sure. I'm primarily concerned with the four underperforming schools in Framingham. And my issues here is that, and I just recently spoke to a candidate from the North Side who's running for school committee. And they've been trying to resolve this underperforming issue for like 10 years. And all they seem to do, as I've started following this, is hire more and more consultants to try to help them.
Right.
And you hire them, and there doesn't seem to be any improvement. If this was the private sector where I worked my entire life, these people would be out of jobs. I mean, you know, if you couldn't solve a problem in 10 months, never mind 10 years, you've got some issues. I want the kids in Framingham to have a good education. I went through the educational system in Framingham. I got a good education, I thought, at the time. But nowadays, kids struggle. I mean, they struggle with the basics. And yet we've got so many classes and variety of classes that kids can take. We fragment the kids in education. We should be teaching them reading, writing, and arithmetic. They struggle in those areas, as well as the underperforming schools would indicate. The issues that I guess are now following around Framingham, one of them is that there's overcrowding in the schools. Now, I'm going to be honest, I don't know all of the problem of that, but that would seem a bit unusual to me because we seem to have enough schools. So my first response to that would be, hey, is it an issue with too many students and not enough classrooms, or is it more of an issue of school choice, which I think it might be, where parents are deciding, I don't want to send my kid to an underperforming school, I'll send it to some other school in Framingham, and so there may be overcrowding there. This presents a lot of problems. And, you know, the budget for the schools, as Judy well knows, is enormous. I don't think we're getting our money's worth out of the school system. I support the schools. I want the kids to do well. But I think we're spending money, in some cases, inefficiently and unproductively. And we should be doing more to fix the problems that we have before addressing maybe new schools and new classrooms. We need to resolve and figure out why these schools are underperforming and address that immediately. All that's happening is that the kids in the schools, the children in the schools, the students, they're the ones who suffer because they don't get the education that they deserve. And we as taxpayers, with our tax rates going up and property taxes going up, pay for this inefficiency and the lack of productivity that comes out of these schools. So, fix the underperforming schools. Look at the efficiency of the schools, and see if we can remove some redundancy in personnel between the town government and the schools. For example, there's HR people in both sections of the government. We don't need that. There's financial departments in both areas. We don't need that. We can combine these things. There's ways to economize, to save money, and not affect the school education in town. But primarily, we need to fix the underperforming schools.
Judy?
The school budget is interesting because I'm on the Ways and Means Committee. We really don't have much to say about it. It's huge. We get the bottom line pretty much. We ask some questions. We could spend a week trying to go over the school budget. But what I was really surprised at, because I haven't known a lot about the schools, is our special education costs. Because we're good at teaching language, we're good at special ed. We have a lot of people who have moved into Framingham because of it. We have the School for the Deaf in Framingham. So if your child is deaf and you live in Somerville, are you going to commute or have your child on a bus? So you move to Framingham. Once they move here, we're the people who pay the tab for it. The other thing that's happened is the state, when they have homeless children, place them in our motels, the Monticello Motel. And I think I was recently telling you, Jonathan, about a strange problem I heard about last night. We have to transport these children back to the schools that they were in if they choose to. We have two children in Framingham who go to school in Malden. They're picked up by two different transports. Our bill is about $500,000 a year for transporting homeless children back to their schools, and we just got reimbursed for $243,000. But we do not know even how many children this is because the state handles. This is a state issue. We don't have a say when the state makes a decision that we're going to handle more children. I believe that's why our schools are overcrowded. Our population is jumping constantly. So I think when Stephen's talking about the school member, I'm very interested in the suggestion one of them made about neighborhood schools. What do you think of neighborhood schools, Stephen? I think that we did it because we thought it was better for kids. Let's let every kid go to the best school. But is it better if you live in Southeast Framingham and you're on a bus going to Northwest Framingham and you don't know the kids and you can't play with them after school? And if you want to stay after school, your parents don't have transportation to pick you up whenever you want. One of the problems for the kids I've worked with in Southeast Framingham is that they weren't in sports. They didn't have parents who could drive them to Little League, who could drive them to the hockey rink, who could pay for equipment. And that's why skateboarding was so important to them and why they wanted a skate rink. That was their thing. It wouldn't depend on a coach. It wouldn't depend on the parents. So I see the value of neighborhood schools. We moved here. Our son was in third grade. He was at Memorial School for 3 months, and they closed it. And he then was on a bus going to North Framingham. I was perfectly happy for him to go to school in South Framingham. So our underperforming schools.
I went to school at Memorial. That's how old I am.
You did too, yeah. So we need to be radical about this, but the good news is that we have an incredible new superintendent of schools. You need that. Any school that is good because of its principal, because of its leader. That has been proven. When you have people who aren't passionate, you don't make change. And our former superintendent, that was a disaster. We don't know why it was allowed to go on the way it was. But what I love about the new superintendent is he said the first day of school he went to every elementary school, and he said, when this kindergarten class graduates from high school is when I'm going to leave the Framingham Public Schools. So when you know you have that person behind you, you can really make change. The other big problem that people don't understand, we have some special needs kids. Autism is a serious problem. We send 200 children out of our city to school in other towns, and we have bills of $100,000 to $300,000 a year for each of them. We pay those bills. They're our kids. We try to keep them in school. That's one of the reasons we have these programs, but we can't always do it, and that really hurts us. So what we need is fairness from the state. If we're going to have these kids and they have these needs, we need help outside of Framingham. Our taxpayers can't do this. We can't handle this. They're good people. Every child deserves an education, but I know people who are moving from Framingham Elders because they can't pay their property taxes. So we have to have help. We can't just be the people who are going to handle all this for the state.
So, Steve, I don't know if you could share maybe some of your thoughts on the school choice system we have now in Framingham versus neighborhood schools.
Sure. One of the things about neighborhood schools, that there was a question that was recently asked whether there should be a school within District 8. And I thought about that. And when I went to school, there were at least two elementary schools, Roosevelt and Memorial, that I went to, that I walked to. But having said that, I mean, we have schools just outside of our district, Barbieri and Woodrow Wilson, that, you know, and to put a school in the district just to put a school in the district, I'm not for that. If we have a need for it, if there's land available and the population requires it, then I say yes. But I have no problem with taking a kid who chooses to move to or go to a school on the north side and to bus him across town. I mean, if I was a parent and if I had a child, I'd want him to have the best opportunity for a good education. That's what's hindering us now. You know, people are moving their kids around and leaving, you know, some of these schools to become underperforming schools. And how they're going to control that or improve that, you know, is a difficult question. But the point you know, what I'd like to see is, you know, we need to make every school a good school. Okay, that's the most important thing. I spoke to this school committee candidate, and she was telling me that the curricula and how classes are taught are different from per grade, third grade, fourth grade, whatever it might be, different from school to school all over Framingham. There needs to be some standardization. If we're going to teach the same type of material, we should be teaching it the same way so that every kid has the opportunity to learn. Some schools benefit, in the manner in which the curriculum is developed and presented. You know, if we have an underperforming school, we should be taking that information from another school and applying it to where we have problems. We're not doing that type of thing, and yet we have to go out and hire a consultant to tell us what we're not doing right. We really should know what we're not doing right, and we should be addressing the things in much more rapid pace than we are right now, to be honest with you. Going to school in Framingham, I thought back, you know, when I went to school that I was getting a good education. I doubt that now. You know, when I see the kids, you know, play across the street from my house where there's a playground, the language that they use, the, you know, talking with them, you know, they're struggling. And I can't, I really am astonished by that, to be honest with you. So those are my thoughts. I mean, I think we just need to, we need to really look at, and Judy's right about one thing. The school budget, you know, we have, the councilors and town meeting, they have very little control over that. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, a state mandate, you know, state requirement that, you know, not to have that. But if we don't have more say, or we don't have better communication with the school department, it'll never change. We need to have a seat at the table and explain to the school department that, hey, listen, we're as concerned as counselors, residents, taxpayers, as the school department is about improving the school and education in Framingham. But, you know, we don't go along, or we don't agree with a lot of the things that, you know, the results that are coming out. And, you know, tax dollars go into that, and anyone will tell you they're not being well spent. And that impacts, going back to our district, taxpayers in our community. Judy mentioned it, seniors are moving out. But it's not only seniors that are having trouble. Everybody's having trouble meeting your tax bill. You know, the bills just came out for the quarter in the last couple of, you know, weeks ago. You know, everybody tries to pay their bill. You know, we're not getting our money's worth. And not just with the school committee, all throughout the town government. And we need improvement badly.
The underperforming schools are not all in South Framingham, Woodrow Wilson, but it's McCarthy, it's Fuller, and it's Brophy, which is way up on the north. These are kids who are bused there. So the fact that they're bused to a north side school is not making it okay. And that's what has to be looked at. One of the things that I heard that really bothered me, there are kids who start school in September, and then they go back to their home country for the winter, that families want to go back. They come back in the spring, and the teachers don't know when they're coming back, and they're way behind, and so they have to have special classes to catch up. And there's nothing we can do about it. How are they supposed to provide a good education? That's why a lot of these schools are on the failing school spectrum. If your kids aren't there, how can you possibly be making the grade on it? So I don't know how you solve that problem. But the other thing that we haven't said is the budget for busing is enormous. You see those buses. It's like a parade in my neighborhood. How many buses go by, Stephen? And a huge bus picks up one kid, and then another bus picks up a different kid. So that money could be used for education. Now, how do you fix the underperforming schools? I'm very much in agreement with what Stefanini says. He says that when kids go to school and they're behind, they stay behind. So there are three groups of kids. There are the kids who go to blocks. If you are special needs, and I have them in my neighborhood, these are kids who are way behind the curve. You get picked up a bus when you're 3 years old and you go to school in the north side so they can catch you up. If you're rich, you send your kid to a private school. If you're middle class, you muddle along and hope that they're going to catch up somehow. So he is for universal pre-K. If you can get them up to grade level when they hit kindergarten and first grade, everybody's going to be better off. And it isn't, and then people say, how are we going to pay for it? Well, we're paying for it now. We're paying for it by being behind and not having our kids up to grade and having to have smaller classes and having to have individual learning programs for each of them. So I think those are some new ideas. The neighborhood schools, saving on the busing, getting our kids this early education, and also getting mentoring. We have a college here. We have huge companies like Bose. I'm very involved with a school in Lawrence, which is a very failing community, you know, one of those towns they take over. There are some sisters up there, Crystal Ray School. They're rated one of the best in the country. They take in minority kids mostly from the Dominican Republic. They don't have to be good students, but they have to want an opportunity. They have work-study jobs for them, and they have 100% of them going to college. They've rated one of the best schools in the country. They have to raise money for scholarships. The kids have no sports. They have no arts. They have jobs. And the kids know they have a chance to have a life. They're now graduating from college. They have the highest graduation from college rate of most schools, too. So that's what we need. They have mentors. We have them in our community. We have them all around us. We have to use them.
Great. So in closing, I was wondering if you could both just briefly kind of say why you think you're the best candidate for the position.
Well, I guess I'm the best candidate. I would like to think I'm the best candidate because, number one, I'm really concerned about the district itself, the two precincts, 15 and 18. I know we've spoken about issues that impact the entire time. Will impact the entire city, and I respect that and I understand that. But more than that, I think I'm more concerned because we've been so neglected over the past decades that, you know, my first priority is quality of life in District 8, Precincts 15 and 18. We need to improve that for everybody. Once we improve that, once we improve the quality of life, once we get reduce our taxes, reduce our utility bills, get more bang for our buck, then, you know, we should look out beyond Precinct 8, I think, and to the rest of the city. I think if you ask anybody, or most of the majority of people who live in District 8, okay, if they're concerned about activities on the north side of town or some of the other issues that have come up, they're going to say, listen, you know, I got my own problems. We need to fix those first. Judy mentioned we have a $400,000 walking path that goes from Fountain Street to the leaf dump. I know it was done by grants. I know, you know, the town, you know, ended up not paying or paid very little for it and ended up with grant money to do it. But I don't see that as something that we really needed. And I know the grant was probably devoted specifically to Parks and Recs area and couldn't be used in other parts of government. But my point is, those types of grants, all grants that come from the state, are taxpayer dollars. Whether they're Framingham taxpayer dollars, we pay taxes to the state, they're used on grants. I want to see some of these grants that come back that go to specific, more grants that go to the school. I know the school system does get grants. We want more grants for schools, more opportunity, more grants for our government to improve the quality of life, safety. We need money for police. We need money for fire. We need, you know, money for the improvements on utilities. Judy mentioned it earlier. My neighborhood has recently had new sidewalks, roads, and utilities put in. It was a 5-year project, and it was only a 3-block area. It was a disaster how it was managed, to be perfectly honest. And to be perfectly honest, my little section of the street was just completed this past summer, and it's been 5 years. And they had all kinds of issues with Verizon moving poles, and they said they couldn't do anything about it. So when I asked these people, hey, the town has leverage. We're letting Verizon dig up streets and do work on poles all over the town of Framingham. Don't give them a permit until some of these other issues are addressed. I didn't mean specifically mine, but these types of issues go out throughout the town. The town does not know how to leverage its position. It does not. It really can do a lot more in managing better, and that's what goes back to my issue on quality management system. We need a system here in every department that is controlled, that is audited, that is important, that there are procedures that are followed, and policies and protocols that are established that go across every department in town. We just need a better performance from our city government. I hope to be able to be involved with that to improve it.
I have been really working with all four Southside precincts from 15 through 18, and 18 is now our district. Specifically in 18, we have an aqueduct that runs through, the Sudbury Aqueduct runs right through South Framingham. It goes from Stearns Reservoir, across Farm Pond, across Waverly Street, by Auto Bright, and then it goes by the Amazing Things and through 350 Irving Street. They're on the aqueduct in Natick. Now, our side of town has no open space, so one of the biggest things I've been doing is saying everyone needs to have beauty around them. Everyone needs to have nature. So I want those aqueducts opened, and that was one of the reasons we were fighting with 350 Irving Street. They were driving over it. We discovered from reading the records that they were supposed to have a bridge over the aqueduct. It's made of bricks. It's 8 feet across. They were driving heavy trucks over it. So they said they thought the bridge was buried. That was the kind of answer we got. And what Stephen is saying is these departments have to get their acts together. They should have said to them, that's nonsense. Where's the bridge? So then we found out that they dumped trees on the aqueduct, pine trees, about 20 of them. And they turned brown. And they, to me, to all of us, were a fire hazard. I called the Massachusetts Water Resource Authority. They know me. I called DEP. They know me. And I said, what's the story? Nobody would own up to who dumped them. I think it was a landscape company. But that's because I knocked on doors. I talked to people. They said, Judy, what's going on with these trees? So they were hauled away. So I feel that all four of our Southside precincts are a body. We're really the Southside. The Southside is not below Route 9. It's below Route 135. So I'm doing it. I know who to call. I know who does the job. I know who's going to give us a difficult time. And I really feel encouraged by the change that's already been made. Mary Denison Park, after they discovered it was polluted, we got money. I pushed for money for it to be improved. I would like to see soccer fields there instead of baseball fields. Volleyball, the Brazilians, when I did my petition, I met the Brazilian in the Hispanic community. The Brazilians would come on Sunday night with picnic tables and barbecue grills, and you could have free entertainment, championship volleyball playing. So there is now a plan for Mary Denison that I've seen. It was a year ago I saw it. They're going to have a better playground. They're going to have soccer. They're going to have volleyball. And they're going to clean up the stream and have it be a nature area. So I'm already doing the work. I know the departments. I know the state-level departments, and I know the people, all the way from 15 through 18. So I think I would be a good candidate, a good representative for this district.
Thank you both for coming in.